Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
What's up and welcome back to Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, episode number 25, presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny Parisi, and I'm here with my brother, Joey Parisi, and Joseph. What's up, man?
What's up? My background is light years better than yours. Just going to throw that out there right off the bat. I had such a blast putting all those jerseys up.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
We gotta get you a cool like setup up there.
Oh, don't worry, that's in the works. I know I need a better background because if I'm gonna be so good at talking, I need to like look just as good as I sound.
Yeah, exactly.
We have some serious things to discuss today. But first off, before we get into period number one, like probably the most important discussion of the entire day.
I have a feeling I know exactly what you're gonna ask me.
It's gonna be something that like has been on my mind all week for a reason. You know why, and like, you know, it's a topic of discussion this week amongst some people we like. What's your favorite kind of fruit?
Yep, knew it was coming. All right, I don't want to get shit on for this answer.
No, listen to me really quick before we go. We're about to have like a long, heated discussion on fruit analysis.
That's fine. I don't want to get shit on for this answer. It's not a lot of people's favorite. At least no one has ever told me it's their favorite. I'm definitely in the minority here with amongst people I've had this conversation with. It's an orange, a nice, juicy, fresh orange. Nothing beats it. Now, with that being said, it is possible you get a bad orange. It sucks. And oranges amongst, you know, not a lot of other fruits are very hit or miss to me. A lot of times you get a bad orange. It's very, very seasonal. Depends where it's from. I would love to, you know, go to Florida just to get an orange. But when you get a good orange, it is my number one fruit.
Okay, the common consensus is watermelon. I think most people's favorite fruit on the planet is watermelon. Now, I think watermelon stinks. It is by far my least favorite fruit. It makes me want to throw up. I cannot believe people like watermelon as much as they do. It's definitely, though, like the court of public opinion, you ask some, it's like the color red. Hey, what's your favorite color? 2 out of 3 people say red. 2 out of 3 people say watermelon, and it blows my
blue.
Mind.
I'd say blue is the more common favorite color. But, yeah, you're crazy for thinking that it's overrated because a nice, juicy, sweet, you bite it, drips down your cheeks right here. Sometimes if you're poolside, it goes down your chest hairs. Juicy watermelon on a summer day is amongst the best. Now, mangoes. You're not I don't think, at least in my, you know, presence around you, I don't think you've ever had a good mango.
I've had a good mango.
I've never seen you.
Kids used to bring them to school.
Who did? Oh, someone you know?
Yeah, back in elementary school, kids used to bring them to school. Yeah, no, they're good.
Yeah.
I became a fruit guy older in life. I didn't like most fruit too much when I was younger. I think I was just like a typical asshole kid who didn't like eating fruit, but like I love fruit now. I could eat a shit ton of it. Well, I just don't like watermelon.
I agree with Scox and Santiago that mango is very underrated. Not a lot of people talk about a good mango.
100%. Go ahead.
Some people agree with the whole melon thing being overrated. Watermelon, I can't get behind, but I will get behind a cantaloupe being very overrated. It's got a very weird texture, and I kind of lump cantaloupe in with a honeydew. Honeydew to me is like green cantaloupe that's not as sweet.
See, I don't love honeydew, but I like cantaloupe a lot. Like a lot. Probably like a top five fruit for me.
Cantaloupe?
Yeah, 100%.
That's crazy.
You know what my number two fruit, like my number one is strawberries. I like any kind of berries. Oh, Santiago, we'll dive into some avocado discussion in a minute here. Strawberries are my number one favorite fruit. I really like blackberries and raspberries as well, especially when they're fresh, like in the summertime. Pineapple. Now, pineapple has one major issue. Pineapple is fucking hard to cut and make right. Yes, it is. It is. Okay, maybe not hard.
It's just because you're lazy.
It's inconvenient. 1,000%. When I'm eating fruit, I'm not trying to like...
What's inconvenient about slicing it down the side, that skin, and
then there's a right way to cut pineapple.
You just don't eat the middle.
How do you feel about bananas?
Bananas? Okay.
They're the most convenient fruit. Lazy people love bananas.
Yeah, I mean...
They call it the plumber's fruit.
Yeah, I heard that, because you can eat the entire thing
without touching it at all. You could have the most disgusting hands of all time, and you won't get germy from eating a banana.
I like bananas, but I've been called a weirdo for this. I like bananas with brown spots all over them.
All right.
I like them kind of mushy. Like, not mushy, but like over-ripened, I guess, for the average person. It's got to have some brown spots on the skin, and then it's nice and soft. I don't know. It's just better. Try it. You can eat it with no teeth. I've seen a baby monkey eat a banana once with literally just like no teeth. Just.
I love the engagement on fruit in our chat here. I'd like to hear people's thoughts on bananas, because I think it's definitely the most polarizing fruit, because you got the health nerds who call it the candy bar of the fruit aisle. It's not, compared to the other fruits, it's not the best for you. And I also like discussing like the proper way to peel it. I think if you peel it with the long tippy part, you're a weirdo. You got to use the bottom where like most people don't use, because if a monkey is eating the banana a certain way, that's how I want to eat it. They know better than me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't agree with that whole it's the candy bar of fruit thing. At the end of the day, fruits are fruit. You get your potassium. It might have more calories than some fruit. You know, your average banana might be anywhere from 85 to 100 grams, which will have about anywhere from 90 to 110 grams or 110 calories. Granted, how many bananas are you eating? So it's not like you're eating 7 bananas and getting like a whole meal's worth of calories. And you're going to get your nutrients that you don't get from a candy bar. So, I mean, I don't buy that. You know, anyone who's overweight, they're not eating too many bananas. Let's be honest.
Yeah. When you were 60 pounds overweight, was like a banana part of your steady diet?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, 100%.
Berries are very good. You get a good blackberry.
Blackberries are awesome.
I'm not a huge fan of raspberries just because they always get like the little seeds stuck in my teeth.
I like raspberries. Just every time I'm eating one, I wish it was a blackberry.
Exactly.
It's one of those kinds of things.
Exactly. And then a good peach or nectarine is very good.
Yes. Peach creates a lot of discussion when it comes to discussing fruit. I want to address a comment from Santiago earlier in the comments. Avocados are fruit?
Apparently. I haven't.
I mean, I'm all about definition, but when I think of fruit, I think of like the sweet ones. But then where does a tomato come in?
Yeah. Well, I don't. Are tomatoes a fruit? I think they, by definition, are.
Yeah.
The reason people think, I don't know, you eat fruits alone. You eat vegetables usually paired with stuff, like in a meal. Fruits are more of like a snack. That's the way I look at it. So.
Yeah, 100%. So with 1-1, you would take an orange, and knowing you'd probably get blasted for it?
Yeah, I don't know. Do I get clementine too? Because those little cutie things, you could dummy like 4 of those, and it's just.
I would say no. All clementine right, is different.
Yeah, I'll go with an orange because a good orange hits. But yeah, we never even mentioned apple. That's like the most classic amongst fruits.
See, now in the snake draft, they drafted different kinds of apples. It was the only one you had to That's take an stupid. Apple. You had to take an apple. So like Granny Smith or Apple or whatever the other ones are. Honey Crisp or whatever. I don't know.
I've seen Vinny eat a tomato, literally just sprinkled some pepper and salt on it.
100%.
That is an absolute, I don't care how Italian I am, that is an absolute psychopath move.
No, it's not. You're a fraud Italian.
Tomatoes are gross.
You're a fraud Italian. 400 Clovers knows what he's talking about. And I'll tell you.
Yes, I agree with Scott. Your clementines are the pregame move. You just get some clementines. They're easy to peel. You pop. They're juicy most of the time.
Speaking of pregame, what about like injecting a watermelon or any sort of citrusy fruit with like some vodka? With like a, you know, so you can like eat them at a party or something. Like make a little alcoholic fruit display.
I mean,
edible drunk arrangements.
I'm sure it would be good. I've never thought about that even being like a possibility.
This has been one of my favorite opening discussions. Shout out to fruit. Shout out to strawberries, the number one goat fruit. And with that, we'd like to send you to period number one.
Real quick, before we get into some hockey, I just have a question. I have a question that the audience is dying to know. It's Wednesday. We just got over week one of the NFL season. Raise your hand if you won week one. No, you put your hand down. It doesn't count. I'm talking about our league. Now, I don't care how many leagues you're in. You might have won one of the week one. Our league.
What platform are we on right now?
The Barroom Network.
My Barroom Network fantasy football team is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. I have Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Galladay, Kyle Pitts, Amari Cooper. Oh, my God.
Talk about that with other people who are in that league. Let's talk about our league.
I mean, no. That team of mine is sick. And if I stay healthy, I like my chances.
Well, Vinny's sending a warning out to the other members of the Barroom Network.
No, I'm not, because when I said, okay, earlier in the baseball season, I started 6-0, and I said it was the best fantasy team in any sport I've ever had, and I've won twice since. And that was in, like, June. So I jinxed myself on that one. I'm not going to jinx my Barroom team. I'm going to grind. I'm going to work hard. And I lost by 2 points in the league you're referring to. So bad. I had the third most points, and I lost.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up. I won.
Whatever. At least I don't have Aaron Rodgers getting me 1.29 points.
As Scox just said.
So, oh, sorry, man. I didn't even. Yeah, sorry about that. Pick up Trevor Lawrence. That's my best fantasy.
No, I believe if I remember correctly, his backup is Justin Herbert.
Herbert. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good call.
Good memory right there. I remember the listeners.
Yep, you care about the listeners big time, as do I. The National Hockey League is almost back. We're so close. And yesterday,
look how excited I am. I plan on wearing these. This is just, I'm going to go through all these in just the first week of the season.
Do you want to dive into that really quick? You seem antsy to before we get into like the news and notes.
Yeah, we're so close. Pretty much every team you go on Twitter, we got a full screen here of all these beautiful jerseys. I'm actually wearing the practice jersey, which, by the way, then you got to get yourself one of these. The fact that you don't have a New Jersey Devils, like I saw them on the ice today, those red ones for the rookie camp that they have right now.
They're sick.
Those are clean.
You know what? Good call. I'm going to get one, and I will wear it on this show because I think the practice jersey is a good jersey to wear on the show because you don't have the uncomfortability of the number on the back.
Yeah, there's nothing on your chair.
Yeah, because I will say wearing a jersey while recording this show isn't the most comfortable. I've done it for the people, for the presentation, but it's not the most comfortable thing in the world because the logo is like big and bulky and it's like driving up into your face. And, yeah.
It's like a rubber. It's like a rubber logo. And this is
and that's what they have. It's authentic.
Yeah. It's got like the chrome thing here. I love it. So I would highly suggest to anyone, if you're a jersey lover like I am, invest in one of these Adidas practice jerseys because they are awesome. I wear it to bars. I wear it out. I wear it when I'm watching a game. I've never skated in it. I actually have a Reebok.
Probably wouldn't.
I have a Reebok practice jersey from like back when they were Reebok.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's gold, but it's got like the logo on the Reebok jerseys where like, you know, the thick, like you can't bend them like this. It's like a real jersey logo. And I have skated in that and I felt like a badass, but
100%. Nice thing about hockey jerseys, similar to baseball. Baseball jerseys are probably number one in this category, but you pair them with like a nice pair of jeans and maybe you like do your hair or wear a nice hat. You could dress up jerseys for sure, especially hockey and baseball jerseys, which are the two jerseys we wear the most.
Yeah, one of my favorite looks is, you know, you throw on some jeans, and if it's cold enough, you throw a hoodie on underneath. I love the way the hoodie looks with a jersey, but I'm very specific. You got to get ones that don't have the laces coming down. I don't like the way that looks, but
if you're wearing nice pants, you wear like a jersey to a bar, you won't look like one of those clowns. You'll look sharp.
Yeah. Baseball jersey over hockey, but I mean, a good hockey jersey in the winter is.
Yeah, it depends on the season. I do think in the summer you'd look a little weird rocking like a hockey sweater when it's like 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
But we announced over, or we didn't announce, we don't have that privilege, but we discussed earlier in the summer when ESPN announced their programming personalities. And, you know, you got guys like John Buccigross and Steve Levy and, you know, just some people who made the move from NBC. Well, yesterday, Turner Sports announced their TNT platform, studio and commentator teams, and it's awesome. It's so good. Do you want me to roll through the list really quick before we roll through?
Yeah, and then I have one quick question to you. I don't know if you know the answer. Do you think that, like, the Stanley Cup will be on TNT or ESPN?
They're going to rotate. I think 4 of the next 7 years are ESPN and 3 of the next 7 years are TNT. I believe so. I would have to triple check that, but I'm almost positive. They are going to be on both.
Okay.
So as you could see on the screen for those listening via audio, the 2021-22 game and studio commenter teams for your National Hockey League on TNT. The studio analysis include the GOAT, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, Anson Carter, Rick Tocchet, and Paul Bissonnette. The hosts, Liam McHugh. And then during the game, you will hear play-by-play from Kenny Albert and Brennan Burke, from color commentating of Eddie Olczyk and Darren Pang. Inside the glass at ice level will be our guy, Keith Jones. And then contributors will be Jennifer Botterill, Tariq El-Bashir, and Jackie Redman. There are some names that we have come to know and love on this list. Your thoughts initially?
I love it. I honestly can't wait. I'm so happy they got Liam McHugh specifically. Wayne Gretzky, seeing him break down the game, you know, at his level is going to be awesome. Sitting beside Paul Bissonnette, someone who we're big fans of. The only thing that, if I guess I could change something just to be that guy, I don't understand Keith Jones being at ice level. Yeah, he does it for Philadelphia a lot on Comcast Sportsnet Philly. But I love Darren Pang at ice level. But, I mean, it's not going to make a huge difference. Darren Pang will be, you know, alongside the play-by-play guy. But Darren Pang does a phenomenal job at ice level. So, but I love it. I can't wait. I am sad. I'm not going to sit here and shit on NBC because they've given us, you know, magic our entire time being fans of the game. But
that song is still my alarm every morning.
It's still every morning for when you call. Only you.
Oh, me specifically?
Only you. When you call, so you know, you'll never hear it because you're not around me when you call me. But every time you call, it's the NBC, NHL, and NBC theme song. So we'll see if, you know, we adapt a new theme song for hockey or what. But
dun, 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 dun. Yep, yeah. It kind of, the ESPN one's real catchy. I don't know about TNT though, but TNT does great work with basketball. With basketball, it is awesome with Shaq and Chuck. And I'm forgetting someone, but Shaq and Chuck like stir the drink. And I have a feeling Eddie Olczyk is going to be paired with Kenny Albert. And I have a feeling Darren Pang is going to be paired with Brennan Burke. I'm not sure where Keith Jones will fit in because you'd think there'd be more than one inside the glass guy. But right now they just have Keith Jones listed. I'm with you. I'm very excited about Liam McHugh being the studio host. I'm excited to hear Biz on national TV, Paul Bissonnette. For those who don't know, he's also one of the co-hosts of the Spittin' Chicklets podcast, which is one of the main things that got me into this game. Like, I really wanted to start a podcast after listening to Spittin' Chicklets. I drink way too much Pink Whitney when we're getting after it. That's all because of Spittin' Chicklets. So Paul Bissonnette, very excited to hear him on the show.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, we've seen Kenny Albert, you know, do games with Eddie Olczyk, so that just makes sense. But and I don't think every game will have an inside the glass guy. When they do, it'll be Keith Jones. And to answer King Pookie's question, yeah, Jonathan Toews is 100% playing. I'm assuming you mean Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, he does. And he asked about, did he take off because of COVID? No. Jonathan Toews had a serious health issue last season that kept him out for the whole year. It had nothing to do with COVID-19.
But reports and himself say that he is back to, he's going to be 100% ready to go this October. So look forward to that.
Not only do I expect him to play, I expect him to play on line one.
Oh, and I expect, yeah, he's going to be productive. I don't see why he won't be at least the Toews that he was inside the bubble. So I'm excited.
There's no reason for him not to be the Toews he was inside the bubble. Now, the bubble was playoffs by technicality. Yeah. So Toews always got to a different level, you know, when the season was on the line, the playoffs. But if Jonathan Toews plays on the top line or even second line, depending on how Kirby Doc plays, the top six wingers are so good, he'll either have DeBrincat, Kubalik, or Kane, or any combination. So, yeah, expecting a big year from Jonathan Toews.
Definitely.
And to answer Skonk's question about the Hawks versus Wild, yeah, I believe it's the prospects. So it's similar to what Boston, New Jersey, and Buffalo are doing with their prospect challenge starting this weekend, which I am so excited for, which we'll get to that in a minute. Tyler Bozak is back with the St. Louis Blues. He signed it's not a PTO, right? It's a one-year contract. He's going to play with the Blues this season. I was listening to Gloria on the way to the gym earlier today. Pretty excited to see the Blues. Your take on Bozy Boz?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good re-signing. He did play with St. Louis last year, right?
Yeah.
He's been – let me look real quick. Yeah, he's been – because I really mainly remember him playing in Toronto. So, and then he was with the Blues when they won the Stanley Cup in 2019, unfortunately. But I think
why
it's
is that unfortunate?
I don't know. I just was rooting for the other team. Last year, looking at his stats, he in 31 games, he had 5 goals and 12 assists for 17 points. The year before, with a bigger sample size, 67 games played, had 29 points. So, I mean, it's just a good bottom six guy to have. I don't necessarily think, you know, he's going to be a difference maker, but it's not going to hurt the team in any way.
I certainly think the Blues are going to be – I'm looking at all these projections coming out, starting up, now that we're starting to get halfway through September, and not a lot of people are giving the Blues respect. And I really haven't been giving the Blues enough respect. Like, I think of the Central Division, and right now it's like, it's Colorado, right? Like, they're the best team in the Central Division. Then you start thinking, okay, who's next? Chicago, Winnipeg, Minnesota. Those, to me, are like the next three. But then I'm like, wait, Winnipeg, their defense, Then where's Dallas? Dallas had a really bad start last year. They picked it up towards the end. Are they going to be good? They went to the Stanley Cup final in the bubble. So, you know, they could come out of nowhere. People just – Nashville's going to be stinky, I think. And I think Arizona is going to be stinky. So where do the Blues fit in? They could be just one of those teams where it's like, oh, yeah, the Blues are always good. We forgot about them.
I have a take. There's a few things. It's not really a take. There's a few things that need to, you know – fix, I guess you can say, or go right for the Blues in order for them to be a playoff team. And which I do kind of think with, you know, things are kind of getting back to normal. You're going to have a full 82 game season with fans from start to finish, hopefully. There's a couple things that need to happen. They need to have the old Vladimir Tarasenko, and I'm not saying he's going to score 40 goals, but they need a healthy goal scoring productive Vladimir Tarasenko.
They might trade him.
If they do, then they need to, you know, fill that hole. But, you know, he's only 29 years old and he's still making $7.5 million. So, you know, that money's got to be put to good use. And we all know the skill that Vladimir Tarasenko has when healthy. He has dealt with a lot of injuries, probably more. If he comes in and scores, you know, 35 to 40 goals, you're looking at that comeback player of the year award, like the Masterton. Like, this dude has dealt with a lot of stuff. So I'm rooting for him. I've always been a fan of him. Brandon Saad, they just signed him. So, you know, we'll see how he fits in.
I just want to bid for Brandon Saad in my Dynasty Hockey League.
Nice.
I signed him to a 3-year deal.
How much did you pay for that?
5.
Not bad. I know the terms are a lot different. And
I'm 5 hours away from winning Jonathan Bernier, too, to be my third string goalie.
Well, he's in Jersey, right?
Yeah, he'll be Mackenzie Blackwood's backup. He had a really good year in Detroit. Not to get off topic from the Blues, but
yeah. And then another thing that I think needs to happen is Torrey Krug needs to, you know, be more consistent. Last year he went a lot of stretches with nothing, not really, you know, figuring it out. I don't like him playing with Justin Falk, and that's kind of what he did all last year. I like what, you know, back in Boston he played with more of a stay-at-home defenseman and Brandon Carlo, but we'll see what happens because Colton Parayenko didn't. I believe he dealt with some injury stuff, and if he's healthy, you know, that's, you're looking at a very good top three in front of Jordan Binnington, which will, you know, make him better. So I wouldn't be surprised one bit if the Blues are an elite team if all that stuff I just said happens, or I wouldn't be really surprised if, you know, they're a bubble team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm completely with you. And speaking of the Blues, their former captain David Backes, he retired from the National Hockey League, and it's a little sad. I liked David Backes. He played with the Boston Bruins to end his career. I know he holds a special place in your heart. Or no, he did move on to...
He played a lot in Anaheim.
Anaheim, yes. It was Anaheim. But the bulk of his career was the Blues. And then he quickly became a favorite with the Bruins. It was weird.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, I guess, internal between Boston fans. I guess you can say controversy after they signed him. It was a... I forget what year. I want to say it was like 2018. It was, you know, the Bruins were looking to, you know, make a big signing. It was the first day of free agency over the summer. And the only really big thing they did was sign David Backes to like a $5 or $6 million deal. And fans were pissed about it. You're getting an aging guy who, you know, is on the downslope of his career. And can he really help the team that, like, in terms of what they need? And this is like one of the few rare instances where the asshole Boston fans were right, because it just didn't work out in Boston for him. He, you know, ended up being scratched a lot. He only had 38 points in his first 74 games with the team. And it was just literally downhill from there. He ended up getting scratched in the Stanley Cup final versus his former team, the St. Louis Blues. So that kind of just says something the way he played. And then it really didn't translate well in Anaheim. Went over there and ended up only playing 6 games in the shortened COVID year, 15 games last year for a total of 4 points. So you had to figure he was going to call it quits soon. But looking before that, his time in St. Louis, captaining that team, leading them to some President's Trophies, some good playoff runs, some intense playoff series with your Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, I mean, what a hell of a career for David Backes.
And speaking of intense playoff series with Chicago Blackhawks, David Backes was crazy in that series. You know, he had the issue with Brent Seabrook hitting him in the head and Duncan Keith saying, wakey, wakey, backy, and all that kind of stuff. And he's not even the only Blackhawks playoff rival to retire or to, like, speak about retirement in the last couple days. And I'm talking about Ryan Kesler. Ryan Kesler was a member of the Vancouver Canucks for a long time in his career, where he had some serious playoff battles with Chicago, and then moved over to Anaheim and had some serious playoff battles with Chicago, which just seemed like wherever the Hawks turned in the playoffs, there was Ryan Kesler. And he was kind of like he was one of those skill players who, like, was also kind of an asshole in a good way. And I loved that guy.
Yeah. So Ryan Kesler, and many Hawks fans will probably agree that, you know, they probably hate his guts. For, you know, a good part of his career, he played in Vancouver. He played on some of those teams that, you know, played the Blackhawks in those intense playoff series. And then he went on in my favorite Ryan Kesler moment. He, in the 2011 Stanley Cup final versus the Boston Bruins, I believe it was that series, he bit Patrice Bergeron's finger. I don't know if you remember any of that. And, you know, it created a whole controversy. Like, it was an after whistle scrum, and Bergeron was giving him the old mouthwash and with the dirty glove in the face, and Kesler bit him. And then, you know, the Bruins went on to win the cup. And then, you know, the next year, I believe Milan Lucic, you know, showed Ryan Kesler, he went like this on his ring, showing him that, you know, they beat him. And every time Ryan Kesler faced the Boston Bruins was a shit show. I ended up hating him. But then as he went on to play in Anaheim, it changed a little bit. And I actually started to, you know, like him. Didn't he win a Selke trophy one year? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, 100%.
That was a confirming question.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you know, just the way he played, he kind of toned down on the assholeness and became a very skilled two-way center. So
yeah, I don't know if he toned down the assholeness, but
he certainly wasn't as much of a dick in Anaheim as he was in Vancouver, at least what it seemed to me.
No, but I do think, like, I'm a little surprised. I thought people are going to crucify me for this take. The 2015 Ducks were so much better than the 2015 Hawks, and they blew it. They blew it. I think they would have smoked Tampa that year. I do. Tyler Johnson was injured. Stamkos wasn't. I think Stamkos was injured too. Kucherov wasn't what he is now. Like, the Ducks were so good in 2015. Their top three centers were, I believe it was Getzlaff, Kessler, Bonino, before Bonino made his way over to Pittsburgh. And they had Kyle Palmieri. They had Corey Perry. Their defense was Sammy Vatanen, Cam Fowler, Hampus Lindholm, John Gibson, and Freddie Anderson were the goalies. Like, that Ducks team was so good. So,
yeah, I just looked in the two teams he played for, the Vancouver Canucks and the Anaheim Ducks. He's finishing his career with 1,001 games played. So he just got that silver stick, which is awesome.
That's awesome. Is Zdeno Chara going to play in the National Hockey League this season?
Yes.
For whom?
I don't know.
We're running out of time.
I can't see the future. I want to say,
is it going to be a PTO or a contract?
A contract. He's not going to PTO anyone. I want to say, I'll look it up for sure, that he signed with Washington a week before the season started last year.
Yeah, but so, it was the COVID-19, like, starting in January. Can't really visit teams. There's a little bit of a different there.
If the season started in January, I'm sure you remember the date. He signed on December 30th.
So, that's actually earlier than even I thought.
What, that before the season?
I thought it would be close. It would have been closer to the season.
When did the season start? Wasn't it like mid-January?
Yeah,
that's pretty close to the season. You're missing training camp.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think training camp actually started on December 30th or January 1st, something like that.
I think there's a spot for him in the NHL.
I think so too.
I know he's like 45. Maybe. Is he 45 now?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just, I don't know. The game is heading in a direction of speed. And yeah, he is kind of a liability there. But I do think there's a spot for him in some team's locker room, especially the team that's trying to win the cup. Having that guy on your team, it'll do more good than harm if you play him correctly.
Letting your deep love of him go away. Would you want him on the Bruins next season? Is there somebody in their top six right now that you'd want to take out in favor of him?
It all depends how John Moore does.
Say no.
It all depends how John Moore. No. If John Moore, you know, pisses me off like I've seen him do, yeah.
Only Devils John Moore was good.
Yeah, but
Rangers John Moore was pretty good too.
The team is looking at John Moore as a guy who needs to be there for he needs to be better.
I don't know. Is he projected to be in their top six?
If he starts the season. I know he's got a long.
You got McAvoy, Grizzlick, Carlo, Lozon. No, they lost Lozon to the Kraken.
Yes.
Grizzlick.
Mike Riley.
Mike Riley, yeah.
Awesome. He's a sure shot. Yeah. He acquired from Buffalo last year with Taylor Hall. And they signed Derek Forbert.
Okay.
I think he played in Winnipeg last year.
Yeah.
Which was a great signing. So I'm going to say, I guess I'll say no right now. Also, don't forget about Connor Clifton, who is a great.
Cliffy?
Yeah. Like, that dude always just, he never starts the season on the team unless there's like injuries, but he always like plays 60 games.
All right, I'm down for that. So Chara still out there. Someone sign him. I hope it's not Montreal. Seeing Chara play for Montreal would be like seeing Tom Brady play for the Jets. Eric Staal, James Neal, Devin Dubnyk, Sammy Vatanen, and Travis Zajac. Those are the biggest names I have left. Parisi signed. Palmieri signed. Trying to think of who was left from that other list. I have it somewhere over here, but I mean, those are the big names left. What are your thoughts?
I'm seeing Brandon Dubinsky's name too. Dubinsky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
The only player in National Hockey League history to fight Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin.
Maybe he'll sign with one of those teams.
Wouldn't that be something?
I do think, you know, I don't see really any of these guys. Maybe James Neal not getting signed. I don't know. James Neal just seems to start off hot and then doesn't do jack shit as of late.
I think Eric Staal will sign somewhere soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying all those guys will sign, except I wouldn't be surprised if James Neal calls it quits.
Oh.
Because I don't think he'll play in like a minors or a different league.
What about Pittsburgh?
For James Neal?
Yeah. Put him with Malkin. See what happens.
They're pretty pressed up against the cap right now.
Yeah, but James Neal's not making much.
Pressed up, I mean they have a cap base of 121,000.
Ooh. So. Expect some moves coming out of the Berg then soon, I would say.
Yeah, but I don't expect James Neal to be a replacement for anyone.
Yeah, probably not. Well, we have 4 weeks left until the NHL season is back, so hopefully those guys get signed soon. And with 4 weeks left, there are four divisions in the NHL, and we'll get to more of that in period number two. Period number two, division previews. We're going to go through every Wednesday, one of the period. I think we'll do period two of every show the next 4 weeks, including today. We'll be previewing a division in the NHL. And this week we're going to start with the Pacific Division. And it's a weird division, man. For those who don't know, the Pacific Division contains the Edmonton Oilers, the Calgary Flames, the Vancouver Canucks, the Los Angeles Kings, the San Jose Sharks, the Anaheim Ducks, the Seattle Kraken, and the Vegas Golden Knights. This is the first year the Kraken are in play. What do you think?
Do you want my team to win the division?
No. First, let's start with Edmonton.
We're going to talk about every team?
Briefly. Do you think – all right, we'll just say, is Edmonton going to be good?
Yes.
Is Calgary going to be good?
No.
Vancouver?
No.
L.A.?
They'll be fighting with – if one of those teams is going to be better, it's going to be Calgary, and they'll be fighting with Calgary.
San Jose?
I keep forgetting about those young guys on Vancouver, though. San Jose is going to stink.
Anaheim?
Anaheim's going to stink.
Kraken.
The Kraken are going to be sneaky. Kraken are going to be sneaky good.
And then I think the only thing we'll ever agree on in the history of hockey is that the Vegas Golden Knights are the class of the division.
Yes. I think this is the division where the best team is the best team by the widest gap, if you get what I mean by that.
I do, because even though I think Colorado's the clear best team in the Central,
there are some teams that are closer to them than there are in this division.
Yes, if Vegas Golden Knights don't win this division, someone's getting fired.
Yeah, like that's an underperformance for the Vegas Golden Knights. It would be more of an underperformance for them than an over or. I guess that would mean the same thing, but you get what I'm saying. I think Seattle has a very, very real chance to make a playoff, you know, appearance.
And the only team that can dethrone the Vancouver Canucks is.
You mean the Knights?
Did I say Canucks?
Yeah.
I meant Vegas, the V. It's the V, man.
The only team that can beat them in a playoff
series. No, not in a playoff series. If one of these teams besides Vegas were to shock the world and win the Pacific, it would be blank.
Edmonton.
I agree. I was hoping you'd say it so we don't have to argue and scream at each other, because I would have went off on you.
You're looking at 120 to 135, 140 points for McDavid. An easy 100 points for Draisaitl.
Nugent Hopkins is a good player. Duncan Keith is there.
Darnell Nurse is probably going to be only better.
Yep, Duncan Keith.
Duncan Keith is not going to hurt the team.
He's not like a game breaking defenseman anymore, but they added a top four D with Duncan Keith. That's just a fact.
Yeah. I would say if we're picking the playoffs here, I would say it's safe to say the top three are going to be Vegas.
Oh, I'm writing this down because when we're going into the season, we're going to have it all ready. And I do give you the right to reserve in the last show before the season starts. We reserve the right to change right before based on signings or anything. But as of right now, Joey has
Vegas, Edmonton, Seattle.
All right, and I'm just going to write an and Vinny. We agree.
You agree?
100%.
That's no fun.
I'm sorry. You know, there's one thing we are on this show. It's genuine. We're not Stephen A. and Max Kellerman like, hey, what do we agree on and we'll talk – or what do we disagree on and we'll talk about that. No. We're men of integrity. This is an integrity-filled show. And I think Vegas, Edmonton, and Seattle are my teams right now from that division. Do you not think any wild cards?
I do. I'm looking at the Central.
All right. You want to argue? We'll argue. Let's go.
I think Vancouver, actually. I'm starting to turn my back on what I said. I think Vancouver will be better than last year.
I think you're crazy. They couldn't even compete in the Canada division. They stunk in the worst division in the history of the sport, and they're going to stink in this division too.
Was that the worst division, or was Toronto and last year's Montreal just like really fucking good?
Toronto and Montreal?
I'm saying for that division last year.
Toronto is really good. I don't think Montreal is. They were really good in the playoffs.
Montreal was really good.
They barely made the playoffs and then went on a Cinderella run.
They were good at the beginning of the season.
There's a reason they played the Leafs in the first round.
They started off good. And
there's a reason they played the Leafs in the first round.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. They were the four seed and they barely made it. Calgary made it interesting at the end. I'm not high on Montreal at all. And I think, not that that matters, they're in another division, but like, I don't know, I'm just not high on Vancouver.
I don't know.
They have a lot of cap issues for as young of a team as they are.
I'm looking at their team right now.
And they traded for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Come on,
that's not a bad thing. Having a defense core of OEL, Tyler Myers, Travis Hamonic, and Quinn Hughes is not bad.
It's not bad. I just
it's
that's so
really
much money.
Good. You're
that's
a big
so
Quinn
much
Hughes
money
guy.
For OEL.
Well, guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
You're overrating OEL.
No, you're underrating Quinton Hughes, who you're a big fan of.
I'm not underrating Quinton Hughes. He's top five defenseman in the NHL right now. But, I mean, they don't even have him signed.
He'll be signed. They have $10 million in cap space right now. It's all for him.
Yeah, and that's crazy. What does OEL make, 7?
I'm not saying – well, first of all, it's not all for him because Elias Pettersson is also a restricted
– oh, my God. They're boned.
They're not boned. They're going to get done. They will get both of those guys signed, and Pettersson is good for 60, 70 points.
Okay, but what does that cost the rest of their roster?
I'm looking at this year.
I think Peterson's even better than you're giving him credit for. He could have 100.
Okay, exactly. And then Brock Besser, he's going to get back to goal scoring.
Sure. But I don't think like that matters. Like, look at Edmonton. McDavid's so much better, so like they get in the playoffs barely. But the fact that they don't have any depth, their bottom six is horrible.
I'm not saying they're making a cup run. I think they can be a wild card team.
You think the Blackhawks are better than them? Do you think the Blackhawks are better than them?
Let's get into the Central Division, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, the Central Division will be next week.
Oh, we're doing this week by week?
There's 4 weeks left. Do you even listen to your own show while you're recording it?
I like this comment better.
I mean, Vancouver stinks. If they prove me wrong, then Pettersson, Hughes, and Besser are even better than I thought.
And
who's
Quinn
the goalie?
Hughes.
Demko?
Demko and Halak.
Yeah. Where did Holpe go?
Dallas?
I'm not sold on Vancouver. I'm not sold on Vancouver. You know what? I honestly hope you're right, because I do think the playoffs is a better place with Vancouver. They're Dallas, fun to watch.
Dallas Stars for Holpe.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun to watch. I just don't see them being better than like the bubble teams in the Central Division, and I'm stunned that you do. Because part of me thinks you're not thinking this through. Like, do you think Dallas is better than Edmonton or than Vancouver?
You just said you really want to get into the Central now.
I don't want to get into the Central now, but it matters when discussing the wild card teams.
I guess it all depends how, you know, what we just talked about with St. Louis. I don't think Nashville is going to be any good. I think Arizona is going to stink.
All right, so you have them as your sleeper team.
They're a sleeper team. Yes.
You have them as your sleeper team in the division. Okay. I will mark that down. For me, the sleeper team?
If you would have just said 5 minutes ago we're going to pick sleepers, then yeah, I would have just said that. I didn't have to get into the whole them being a wild card team.
Answer this yes or no question. Do you or do you not have the exact same notes in front of you that I have? Exactly. So we both have Vegas winning the division, and you have Vancouver as a sleeper team. We're not calling Seattle a sleeper team. So
if we pick three teams and then a sleeper team, that's like saying that you think they could potentially make the wild card spot.
I guess I was resisting your Vancouver pick.
What's your sleeper pick?
The Los Angeles Kings.
The Vancouver Canucks will be better than the Los Angeles Kings. There. Argument done. That's all. That's the only argument we needed to have. We didn't need to talk about the Central wildcard teams. That's beyond the story.
But here's the question I was going to ask you, though. Is Seattle a sleeper team? Because by definition, they probably are, but we both agree that they're going to be good enough.
By definition, not a single person has watched this team play.
Literally.
So they're
a sleeper team, but they're not really what I meant by sleeper team, because we both think they're going to make the playoffs, because we both know hockey and look at that roster and see what, like, agree what they can do. The sleeper, I mean, like, teams that people think are going to be straight up bad or like mediocre. I like what the Kings are doing, man. They're going to call up some of these kids, and Anaheim might be in that mix too. I think San Jose is going to stink, unfortunately, because I really like watching the Sharks.
But don't get me wrong.
Nobody picks Calgary.
Yeah, I don't know. Calgary, a lot.
They might trade Johnny Ham and Cheese before the season even starts.
Yeah, who knows? Don't get me wrong. I hope that the Los Angeles Kings are a very, very good elite team in short order.
You hope them better than – you like them more than Vancouver?
As a team?
Yeah.
Like my personal interest? They're probably amongst my top in the whole division.
Okay.
They probably goes Seattle. I officially hopped on the Seattle bandwagon. I told you that a while ago. They are my expansion team. Fuck Vegas. I'm a Seattle guy. It probably goes Seattle and then LA.
All right.
I don't care.
More than Edmonton?
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Edmonton. I respect and love watching the best player in the world play.
Well, that's kind of... like, when it's not the Devils, it's like it flips based on who's on what team. Like, right now, for me, Edmonton is a top five entertaining team.
And, okay, that's fair. But I'm talking, like, do I really want, you know, am I going to be rooting for that team every single night? No, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I could give two shits less if Edmonton wins or not. I just want to watch McDavid and Draisaitl.
Exactly. So I would not consider myself an Edmonton fan by any means. I'm a Kraken guy now. I'm hopping on board with the Seattle Kraken. And a good point that you made that I just want to throw out there real quick. You made it, I don't even think we were on the show. We were just talking. You think of a team and how they play, the style they play. Like, you know what you're getting when your team is playing against the Vegas Golden Knights. You know what you're getting when your team is playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You have no idea, like, how the Seattle Kraken, like, you don't know what to expect. So who knows what system they're going to have, what style of hockey they're going to play. It is very, very exciting to look forward to their first game and the first week even.
I have a prediction. Think about when the Bruins play the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's boring.
That, but they're like high tempo, but good sound defensively. Like, I'm expecting Carolina Hurricanes hockey from the Seattle Kraken. That's how I see the roster. That's what I envision when I watch them play. They're going to be a blue version of the Hurricanes.
I hope, because, I mean, the Hurricanes are hard to score on, so.
They are hard to score on, and they score.
Yeah.
You know, they got their stars up front, and then the rest of the roster clamps it down. So that's kind of my little prediction based on looking at the roster and the coaching staff and the GM and all that stuff. Who are the key players in the division as far as you are concerned?
The key players?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I'll say McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah, of course.
Arguably,
those two players will probably impact the division more than any players in the league.
Yeah. I think Philip Grubauer, you know, me having Seattle as a playoff team, it's going to weigh heavily on if he plays like how he did in Colorado or even back when he was a backup in Washington.
Absolutely.
If Philip Grubauer plays to that level, then yeah, that also is going to make Seattle crack and, you know, a lethal team. My guy, Max Pacioretty, future USA Olympian, going to be playing with Mark Stone, another guy. But it's not just them two. They need that second line scoring from Marchessault, Wild Bill, Riley Smith. And I guess if you're going to look at the Kings, Anze Kopitar.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring up Kopitar too. That's exactly who I was going to say when it flipped back to me, because the Kings are going to be loaded with young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking Quinton Byfield, Alex Turcotte, just all these young players that the Kings have coming their way. And they don't have Toffoli anymore. There's no Jeff Carter anymore. It's all about the young guys. So I think Kopitar's role, along with Doughty and Quick as like the core three that won cups, can really help them like maybe take it to the next level this year, starting their little retool.
Yeah, it's a couple of young guys. Adrian Kempe was awesome when he, you know, first started. And Gabe Vilardi, we saw him get drafted in 17 in Chicago.
Yep.
We
sat next to his trainer.
Exactly, his personal trainer. Dude was like Jack. And then if Quinton Byfield, you know, really gets a role with whole season as a centerman for Los Angeles, we'll see how he does. So, I mean, a lot of young guys are going to need to really blossom in order for that team to be good. Because also, I don't like their goaltending. I don't really like Cal Peterson and Jonathan Quick duo. Not a fan at all. And they also signed Victor Arvidsson, which I forgot about. So that could be
a good pickup.
Yeah.
You know what I like about Victor Arvidsson? I think I said this when the Kings signed him on the show, but I'm going to say it again. Whenever he scores a goal, it looks like it is the first goal he's ever scored playing hockey at any level. He freaks out crazy, and I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. Alex Ovechkin is probably the most notable like goal scorer that does that. But then you got guys like, you know, Jamie Benn, who when they score, like, they don't even celebrate. It's like me.
You score so much that you just don't celebrate.
Yeah.
So we both have Vegas winning. And Vancouver's your sleeper, Los Angeles is mine.
Yep.
And we'll discuss wild cards when we get to the Central Division. We're going to do last because this is a Chicago-based show, and I want to get people fired up before the season. But we will revisit this topic. Don't worry. It's on sticky notes now. We will be revisiting the playoff predictions. Here's what we'll do.
It's on sticky notes. That means it's like it's official.
Oh, dude, I'm the sticky note king. Look at these. We're ready to go.
They're not even sticky.
Yeah, they are. What are you talking about? They come from a pad of sticky. Look, sticky.
I was picturing like the classic yellow post-it note. What the fuck is that shit?
What do I look like? A fifth grader? So here's what we'll do. We'll make final playoff predictions before this actual season, like the show before. And this is just kind of like a preview where people can like get in their heads what we're gonna pick by that point. Deal?
Sounds good.
And with that deal, we go to period number three.
I always have it ready. The champ is here. We're talking fantasy hockey.
Sometimes Joey forgets that there are people that listen to the audio version of this show and can't see his stupid face holding up the fantasy hockey trophy right now. So that's obviously a sign that he wants to talk some fantasy hockey, no?
Yeah, I do. And we're talking
the most fun position to talk about when it comes to.
I don't even have any notes on it. I haven't pulled anything up. We should just skip talking about the number one guy.
The number one pick in the 2021 fantasy hockey draft, unless your league is filled with a bunch of dummies, will be Connor McDavid. I don't care what anyone says. If you don't take McDavid, you're not playing the game the right way. You can make arguments for other positions, centers deeper. I get that. McDavid's different. If you take someone else other than McDavid with the first overall pick, you're not playing the game the right way. Do you agree?
I mean, look what he got me. Without him on my team, I don't win this. That's a fact. I had the one that's the first time in 8 years of fantasy hockey or seven. What was it, 8 years now? I won seven. That was the seventh season. I won four times in 7 years. Pretty good ratio. Not including the COVID canceled season where I was 17-2-2 and on.
So that was the eighth season then. We're going into the ninth because I have one, Dylan has one, Frankie has one, and one was canceled.
So you could say it was the eighth season, one of them never finished. So there's been seven full
seasons. There's been seven champions, eight seasons.
And in that one canceled season, I was 17-2-2, currently on like a 13-game winning streak.
All right, get on with the centers.
Just saying, centers, I had Connor McDavid. It's the first time in all the years we've been playing that I was granted the 1-1 pick, and I was a little nervous about it. I don't like picking 1-1. I hate it in any fantasy draft. My least favorite spot to draft from. Couple reasons. You don't really have a decision. Football, you have more of a decision. In fantasy hockey, you don't have a decision.
You shouldn't have in football. If you don't take Christian McCaffrey, you're a dummy.
But there's arguments for other – there's arguments for Kamara. There's arguments I will say for that. Derrick Henry.
Yes, okay. There's no argument for McDavid.
When you get that – when, you know, you're getting ready for your fantasy hockey draft if you play and you're 30 minutes before the draft, you get your order and you see your 1-1, there's no decision-making. You pick Connor McDavid, and it's going to be that way unless he's hurt for the next – 10 years. So I was a little nervous when that popped up last year, but you build around it and you work with that low second round pick. But Connor McDavid is the best center that you can possibly take in fantasy hockey.
He's the best player you could possibly take in fantasy hockey.
Yeah, exactly. But we're talking centers.
2 through 5 is where things get interesting. Sidney Crosby's not even in that ranking on NHL.com. On NHL.com. For 2021, they have obviously McDavid 1. Nathan MacKinnon is number 2. Leon Draisaitl is number 3. Austin Matthews is number 4. Alexander Barkov is number 5. Braden Point 6. Sidney Crosby 7. Do you think Austin Matthews' current predicament of his injury, where he's going to miss like training camp and maybe like a game or two to start the season, if that, he might even start the season on time. Do you think that lowered him to 4, or do you think they genuinely think MacKinnon and Draisaitl should be ahead of him?
I think they genuinely think that. Draisaitl should be, to me, a clear number 2.
That happened 1 year since we've been playing fantasy, where two guys on the same team went 1-2. Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah. Draisaitl, and doesn't Draisaitl, he should be a flex.
Center left wing.
Yeah, on most Yahoo leagues.
So is Braden Points, center right wing.
Which, right away, if you don't play fantasy hockey, if you're able to get a guy like that who's a flex, clear advantage when it comes to setting your lineup and you know, choosing who you have to start on a given Saturday or Thursday night where there's 12 games on, 13 games on. That right away makes Leon Draisaitl, on top of the fact that he's, let's be honest, he's probably going to come in second in scoring. That's my early, you know, spoiler alert prediction. Leon Draisaitl is going to come second under Connor McDavid. Why wouldn't you take him second?
Because Austin Matthews will lead the league in goals for the second straight year and probably the next 10 years. And goals are by far the hardest statistic to come across in fantasy hockey.
If you're building your team and you're already looking at a guy in the second round who's going to get you a lot of points or assists and you want to build your team that way, there's a lot of pre-planning that should go into your fantasy hockey team, depending on where you draft. yeah, go ahead, take Austin Matthews as a center who's going to get you a shit ton of goals. I don't think he's necessarily a sure shot to lead the lead in goals. It'll be a battle between Ovechkin and Pastrnak and maybe even Leon Draisaitl. Nathan McKinnon has a potential to score 50, I believe.
I think McDavid could if he wanted to. He just never will.
I genuinely believe this. I genuinely believe this. Connor McDavid cares more about winning than anything else. I believe it's hard on the team that he's on right now, but if you were to ask Connor McDavid, hey, dude, you know, you have the option here to score 130 points or your team's going to actually win a big playoff series and you're only going to score 90 points. He's going to say, I'll only score 90 points. I don't give a fuck. Let us win.
I think even if he pulled back, he wouldn't have 90. I think he'd have more, but I get your sentiment.
Yeah. So I do believe that, you know, if he were to just say, I want to score 50 goals this year, I don't care if we win, I'm putting my skill toward, yeah, I do believe he can score 50 goals, but I think all he cares about is winning and he's going to play the way he feels his team can win the best. I would take Leon Draisaitl, my second center, but I wouldn't even take Matthews third. And this is where we're going to disagree. I'm going Nathan McKinnon.
Expand.
Nathan McKinnon to me is, you know, probably skill-wise, I believe, the second best player in the world. Skill-wise.
It's not a bad take. He's either second or third.
You watch this guy play, you know, especially in the playoffs last year. Like, yeah, they lost, but watching Nathan McKinnon play, he is just magical. And as a centerman, he's going to get you the power play time. He's on one of the best power plays playing with Landeskog and Rantanen. And now he has Cale Makar, who is very similar in terms of the way he handles the puck. I just think Nathan McKinnon is on his way to a breakout 100-point year.
I agree with you that he's the second best player. But I also think it's possible Matthews is. I think you're selling Matthews' power play short, too. He's got Tavares. He's got Marner. He's got Nylander. He's got Riley. That's a great power play unit.
It's good. It's very good. I don't think it's anywhere near. I don't think it's anywhere near Colorado's, dude.
Okay, I do. I absolutely do. Because Rantanen and Marner are very similar in the assist category. Tavares and McKinnon are similar in the playmaking center category. McKinnon's better, but Tavares is very good. And Matthews is the best goal scorer of any player named so far.
The gap between Cale Makar and Morgan Riley.
That makes a big difference.
Who's the guy who sets up the power play? Who's the quarterback on the power play? It's usually that one defenseman at the point. Cale Makar is a difference maker on that power play.
No doubt about it. You got me there. I do think Riley's very good, though. And
I think he stinks.
That's why. Like, you think, like, based on what? Your hatred for the Leafs?
I don't know.
And Nylander's better at net front presence than Landeskog.
Nylander is better than Landeskog. That's fine. I think Rantanen is a better goal scorer than all those guys except Matthews.
That's fair. But Marner's the best assist man, like pure assist man.
I think McKinnon is comparable with him.
Yeah, but McKinnon,
the only thing that power play
McKinnon's
has
more power forwardy, is forwardy. The only thing what?
The only thing that power play has over the Avs is Austin Matthews. And yeah, he will be a top five player drafted maybe.
Yeah,
let alone a center.
Would you draft Mark Scheifele, even though he's suspended?
I would, 100%. Mark Scheifele is well over a point-per-game player. He seems to have been that consistently for the past 5 years. He's suspended for whoever he killed last year against Montreal. I forget who.
It was the kid. I forget his name now.
Yeah, I forget his name too.
He was like a kid playing in his first ever playoff game.
Yeah, I don't think that suspension is going to harm him and his draft rank in any way. He's going to be back before week two in fantasy hockey. So,
I want to hear your take on this. My guy Jack Hughes is ranked 22nd of all centers. That's pretty high. And then Nico Hischier's 48. So the Devils have two guys in the top 50. Would you take either of them? Or are they too high? Are they too low?
I think I'd probably go with someone else who I know for a fact is going to be, who's on a team that's going to be, you know, scoring a lot of goals. I wouldn't take that gamble, but it is definitely, it is that. It's a gamble that could work out. So I don't know if
If Jack had 85 points this season, would you be at all surprised?
Exactly. No, I wouldn't. But am I going to do that until he's done it? Am I going to draft him? Unless, because to me, there's going to be someone better. So I don't know. At the time.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of the centers listed below him, though, and I think I would rather have Jack Hughes than most of these guys. Like Rupe Hintz, Elias Lindholm, Nick Suzuki, Braden Schenn, Tyler Seguin, Bo Horvat, Kirby Dach. I'd rather have Jack Hughes over all those guys. Really, if you think about it, the ranked 22 center, if you're in a 10-person league, that's 20 centers. That's 20 starting centers. So really, Jack Hughes might be better ranked than you actually think.
Yeah, I'm interested to see on your list, because we're looking at different lists here where this guy is ranked. You know, we talked about left wings. My top left wing I would take is Brad Marchand. My top right wing I would take is David Pastrnak. This guy is not my top picked center, but you're able to get him somewhat later when drafting centers, and that's Patrice Bergeron. He's good for, you know, when they're at their best, he's good for point a game. It hasn't been that way in some of these shortened years, but I truthfully believe that Patrice Bergeron is capable of putting up 90 points. And he, along with Brad Marchand, is going to be one of the best penalty-killing duos, along with on one of the best power plays in the league. I think he's an all-around great fantasy hockey center. I'm interested to see where he ranks.
NHL.com has him as the 10th best center in the NHL.
To me, that's crazy low. If I'm able to get Patrice Bergeron in the third round, look out, because
it's about the centers ahead of him, though.
I get that.
You're taking McDavid, McKinnon, Draisaitl, Matthews, Barkov, Point, Crosby, Zibanejad, Aho ahead of him.
I would rather Bergeron than Crosby, Zibanejad, and Aho.
You'd rather Patrice Bergeron than Sidney Crosby?
Yes.
What planet are we? Fantasy
hockey. For fantasy hockey, I would.
Sidney Crosby. I've had enough of this, man.
For fantasy hockey, I would.
All right. You end up with the freaking trophy every year.
Exactly. I'm waiting for you to like argue with me when I literally win the 60% of the times we've played in the past decade.
I don't even slightly agree with that take. Sidney Crosby.
Well, guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
Let's look up Patrice Bergeron's stats from the last full year.
Which is when?
The year when Pasta had 48 goals, like literally right the last time things were 100% normal, that season.
Okay.
Give me a second.
What are you getting at here with that, though? That he had more points than frickin' Crosby?
How many points did Crosby have?
Well, you do Bergeron, and I'll do Crosby.
The 2018-19 season.
Okay, I'm listening.
In 65 games played, Patrice Bergeron had 32 goals.
Wait, what season?
2018-19.
Okay. Oh, my God. You're going to get buried in this argument. 2018-19 for Patrice Bergeron.
No, are you? I got Bergeron. You want me to get Bergeron?
Yeah, no, you got Bergeron. Go.
In 2018-19, he had 32 goals, 47 assists, and 79 for 79 points.
Okay. In 2018-19, Sidney Crosby had 35 goals and 65 assists for 100 points.
How many shorthanded points did
Sidney don't get? Care.
That's what I'm talking about. You don't care about any of that shit, which is why you never win. You care about points. Fantasy hockey looks at more than just points. Power play points. shorthanded points.
But it's a difference of 21 points.
It doesn't matter. You make that 30, up.
No,
30, you make that up.
I don't know.
You make that up elsewhere. You make that stuff up as you know what you're not going to make up elsewhere? Those shorthanded goals that win you a category. Those shorthanded assists that win you a category. How many game-winning goals did Sidney Crosby have that year?
Game-winning goals, Crosby had 3.
6 for Patrice Bergeron. That is a crucial – those are 3 crucial – how many power points did Crosby have? Power play goals.
12 power play goals, 17 power play assists.
For how many points?
Whatever 12 plus 17 is. I don't know. 29.
Okay, Bergeron had like 10 power play goals. And you get my point. The categories make a huge difference in fantasy hockey. And people
who I get that. You took one category, though, to try and bury me, and that's shorthanded points.
And game winning
goals. Every other
is shorthanded goals and shorthanded assists and game winning goals. Is that not 3 categories?
Game winning goals is not based a lot on like anything you do better than anyone. How many of those game winning goals were the third goal of the game and then the other team scored one to make that? That there's a little bit, give me that. There's a little bit of luck involved in game winning goals, unless it's an overtime goal, unless all 6 of those are overtime goals.
I recall Patrice Bergeron scoring a lot of overtime goals.
He scores a lot of overtime goals, don't get me wrong. But game-winning goals, a lot of the time, you score the 6, the other team scores 5, you get the game-winning goal.
Not necessarily. When a team is tied 2-2 going into the third, even if the game doesn't go to overtime, a lot of times it's like, you know, a big name who steps up in that third period and scores that goal. That ends up being the game-winning goal.
Yes, you are very right. And I'm not taking that away from Bergeron. He's great. I don't think that the 1 year that the game-winning goals, like, that's also, like, 1 year. Crosby had 5 last season in 55 games. How many did Bergeron have last season?
3.
Okay, exactly. Exactly. That's last season. What was Patrice Bergeron's points last season in the shortened season?
48.
Okay, Crosby had 62.
I'm not saying Crosby always will have more points. He's Sidney Crosby. He was the face of the National Hockey League for a decade. Patrice Bergeron was never that. He's not. Patrice Bergeron plays with better people. He plays on a better power play and he kills more penalties. And he's productive on the penalty kill, which are major categories when looking at a fantasy hockey matchup. That's my argument. I'm taking Patrice Bergeron over Sidney Crosby.
That's crazy. Would you take fantasy hockey rank into consideration? Because I'm willing to bet if we go back and look, Sidney Crosby ended as a top 5 fantasy center for the last 10 years.
I'm looking now.
You don't have to look right now.
It should be quick. Well, we could talk why. But yeah, who's your sleeper center?
My sleeper center, I mean, Jack Hughes was kind of my pick. I know taking the Devil is going to be the littlest surprise to anyone, but I do have another one that I think everybody else can kind of look at and maybe consider, and that's Jonathan Toews. Jonathan Toews is currently ranked 35th best center, which probably that's borderline undrafted in some fantasy hockey leagues. I would take Toews. I think Toews has a chance to be a really good, impactful center this season.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think he's going to fall big time. A lot of people forget, you know, Jonathan Toews is playing.
Yeah, and if he's ranked as the 35th best center and you start throwing wings, defensemen, and goalies in there, then, like, we're probably talking in, like, the low 100s, like, or the high 100s, right?
Yeah. A center that I guess I'm looking deep here, sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Suzuki, I had him on for a portion of my team last year.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because he was on my team, but I think Nick Suzuki is going to be even better as, you know, time progresses in his
career. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a Suzuki guy because he was traded for Pacioretty and you're just staying loyal to the brand?
No, I don't know. Nick Suzuki's just cool because he was drafted by Vegas when we were there.
Yeah. So first ever Vegas draft pick, right?
I don't know. I look at those players like it's just they're cooler to me. I don't know.
Same.
Like Cale Makar.
Nico Hischier. And Golden Knight legend Nolan Patrick.
Miro Heiskanen, right?
Yeah, 100%. Elias
Pettersson. Robert Thomas. There's a lot of good people from that draft. We were blessed to be at that draft.
Oh, yeah, and it was the underrated or it was the bad draft going in. That draft was freaking sweet.
Obviously, we mentioned this guy's name. He's really not a sleeper anymore. Sasha Barkov.
He's the fifth best center, according to NHL.com.
Yeah, but, I mean, we'll see if the average hockey fan knows about that. He's very underrated. Last year, I got Braden Point pretty late, I think. Or no, it was the year before he was dealing with an injury. That's not going to be the case. Full 82-game year, I expect 90 points out of him.
Yeah. Credit to Tampa for developing him, too.
Yeah, we'll see how Tyler Johnson does in Chicago. Who knows? Yeah,
he's a sleeper. He's not on this list at all.
He was fantasy worthy a while ago, so who knows if he goes back to that.
There are three rookies ranked in the top 10 or in the top 50 of fantasy hockey centermen this season, and that is Trevor Zegras of the Anaheim Ducks, Quinton Byfield of the Los Angeles Kings, and Marco Rossi of the Minnesota Wild. Gambling with any rookies this year? Even if it's off the waiver wire, like somebody, you know how like when you draft your team, you look at the waiver wire after your draft and then you're like, I'm going to keep an eye on that guy. If nobody snags him and I run into an injury, that's my guy. That's kind of how I'm looking at the rookies this season.
Yeah, that's literally how you have to look at it. I know he's not going to be a rookie, but is Lafreniere a center?
Lafreniere's a winger.
A winger, okay. Because, I mean, I expect him to be a little better. You know whose name we didn't even mention? And there's no rookies, like, off the top of my head that it's literally going to be a Blossom thing.
No, really quick, I want to mention Rossi. I think he's going to be in the Minnesota Wild lineup, maybe even week one. And he could prove to be, like, one of those Calder Trophy-type rookies. I really believe that. He's awesome. And seeing NHL.com give him some love like that is really cool.
Yeah. What team?
Wild.
Oh, okay. I was wondering who
they drafted him in the first round of 2020. He played on a line with Jack Quinn. Remember Jack Quinn?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play for the Buffalo Sabres. He's another sleeper rookie, but he's a winger, so we're not talking about him. Who were you going to say?
Who was I going to say? Oh, a guy we haven't mentioned once at all this entire talk. Jack Eichel.
Yes.
If he's healthy, if he starts the season, we haven't even mentioned his name. If he's healthy, regardless of what team he plays on, I don't care if he plays for the shitty Buffalo Sabres, he will be productive.
He's ranked 15th.
Which is crazy because if he was on a good franchise who and wasn't hurt, gave him proper whatever he wanted to do to make himself 100% healthy. I don't know the whole details up behind it, but you get what I'm saying. If he was in shape, prime Jack Eichel, you'd be looking at a top five guy right there.
I couldn't agree more. He's like right there with Barkov as like one of those top five. It's sad. It's sad, honestly, I don't swear too much on this show. It's fucked up and it pisses me the fuck off because he should be one of the best in the world. And there are people that think he's overrated now. And like, no, he's not underrated. He's one of the best players in the league. And he should be drafted in your fantasy league if he's healthy. Don't piss me off.
Exactly. Honestly, the reason that it's not like that, you is 100% because of the Buffalo Sabres. So
I wish he was on the Boston Bruins so bad. But like, he'd be even better than great, I think, if he were on the Bruins. Like, he played at the God and in the Beanpot, you know, back when he was at Boston College. Boston University. Get it right, pal.
I get them mixed up because so many players come from BC. So many come from BU. Oh,
BC and BU are both top five
college. Sorry, the city right here just spits them out. It spits out talent. Spits it out.
Mass is probably top two. It's always been the battle of Minnesota versus Massachusetts. That's why, like, a couple years ago, they had the Wild playing the Bruins on Wednesday Night Rivalry, and the casuals were like, why are the Bruins playing the Wild? They're not even rivals. No, but the state of Minnesota and the state of Massachusetts have a long historic rivalry of great hockey competition. Watch the movie Miracle for once in your life. Who does Jack O'Callaghan try to fight early in the show? He took the ring right off my finger. I mean, we're talking like a huge state rivalry between Minnesota and Massachusetts. So go Jack Eichel. We're rooting for you, pal. Right, really quick, right under him, Evgeny Malkin. One of the most interesting people you can look for in fantasy hockey discussion or just hockey analysis in general.
Yeah, I have my issues with Malkin. He can't seem to stay healthy.
It sucks.
And
He's the top 20 player ever, though. Nobody's refuting that.
It makes you wonder how much longer he's going to be in this league. He's, I believe his contract's up next year, after this year.
Yeah. He's a scoring champion. He's a Stanley Cup champion, Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Hart Trophy winner. I mean, what the hell else does Evgeny Malkin have to prove to the Goombas who talk shit about him?
He could retire right now at 3:21 p.m. Central Standard Time, and he would be a Hall of Famer.
The old SAGs never make anyone unanimous, but, like, he would walk into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like, if he retired right now.
He's probably the best Russian player ever. I know Pavel Bure and Datsyuk and Kovalchuk. Evgeny Malkin. Oh,
forgot about. There's a big guy, Alexander Ovechkin. He's still putting up 40 goals.
They're 1 and 2 though in either order. There's an argument to be made for Malkin over Ovechkin. There is.
I guess, in terms of success and, you know, just all around.
And player. I think people consider playmakers better hockey players than pure goal scorers. Now, Ovechkin has great playmaking ability. I'm not taking anything away from him. So I don't know. It's definitely a fun topic. Maybe we'll get into that one of these weeks. You want to yell at each other about Crosby or Ovechkin versus Malkin one of these shows?
We could definitely do that. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a Wednesday. I don't know how ESPN/TNT is going to handle, you know, the televised games, if it's going to be like a Wednesday thing like we're used to. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty of series or games to preview.
Rivalry nights.
Yeah, where it's Washington versus Pittsburgh. So I'm sure there will be plenty of time for that.
ESPN, I'm not as familiar with TNT. I'm a basketball fan, but I'm not like a diehard. I catch it every now and then. Most of my TNT basketball consumption is YouTube clips of Chuck and Shaq laughing at random shit. But I will say ESPN does like saying Monday night blank, Wednesday night blank, Saturday night blank. And it wouldn't shock me too much if there's Wednesday night hockey on ESPN.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be called Wednesday Night Hockey.
But why, though? There's Wednesday Night Baseball.
I know, but it was literally called Wednesday Night Hockey for NBC.
Yeah, but how do you, like, trademark blank night sport?
I guarantee you if the Canadian Football League were to have, like, a Monday Night Football, the NFL would be able to say something about that.
You got me on that. You made me change my opinion. You might be right.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
The only thing is, Wednesday Night Hockey is no longer active on NBC. If the Canadian Football League tried to do it, chances are they'd be trying to run it over Monday Night Football.
I don't know. We'll see. I love Wednesday having that because Wednesday's usually it's considered an off day in the NHL. You know, the prime nights for hockey are Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night. Those, you look at the calendars for those 3 days, you're looking anywhere from 12 to 15 games on those given days. Rare that it's 15 anymore, but there will be a few Saturdays where there's 15 games where all but – oh, no, there's 32 teams now. We'll have our first 16-game season probably this year.
We could probably look it up and see if there is one at all. It doesn't happen too often.
No, there was a couple 15-game – before
it was like two, yeah, yeah.
Before Vegas came to the league, there was a couple 15-game nights where every team played, and then within the past 3 years – it's been 15 games and then there's always one team that doesn't play because there's only 31 teams, but now there's 32. So expect a 16 game night.
None.
There's none.
There's not a single game, a single day this season where there are 16 games.
That's crazy with the condensed schedule for the
Olympics. There are two with 15.
So there will be two teams that are odded out.
Imagine being, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be like the freaking Devils. And I'm going to have to sit there and watch the Bruins play the Canadiens and watch the Maple Leafs play the Canucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's fun whenever there are those 15 game nights. Me and you always try to decide. We always try to figure out what team's not playing just by looking at the games. We don't look up who's not playing.
The Devils play both of those 15 day games. So do the Bruins, and so do the Blackhawks. The Bruins play the Predators at noon on one of them.
So stop looking. I'm sure we'll play that game later on, where the schedule will be, and we'll be looking at the schedule and try to figure out who's
one team is not playing. Let's see who could figure it out first.
Two teams this year.
Yeah. True.
This next week will be the last show without hockey.
Yes.
Saturday.
Without. Go ahead.
Saturday the 25th starts the preseason. So that's exciting.
Yeah. It's not the last show without preseason hockey. It's the last show without any hockey, but.
The last show, what do you mean? That's what I just said.
If it starts the 15th, that means we have one more show.
Our next show today is the 15th. You
yeah, if it starts the 25th, that means our next show 7 days from now.
I literally just said the next show will be our last show without hockey.
Oh,
give him a penalty. 2 minutes.
2 minutes for being an idiot.
Well, guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
There is the prospects.
Yeah, the prospect.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'll be watching
the Devils are going to smoke the Bruins
on my phone. I don't know. Jack Stanika has been looking good in camp.
The Bruins have some good prospects.
Yeah, Fabian Lysell, who they just drafted in the first round this year, is apparently looking good. Jakub Lauko is looking good. I remember being pretty high on him last time they did the prospect challenge. So I'm excited.
I do think the Devils have better prospects than the Bruins, but that doesn't matter when you're playing a game. Whoever wins, wins. Like, the better team doesn't always win.
Next week, we could even maybe do a whole period if you're looking for ideas. Rookies, like breakout players that you want to see make the team. You do it for the Blackhawks and then Devils and Bruins if you want.
Yeah.
Because there are some guys who I'm looking at. Even on the Hawks, that I see them and I want them to make the team.
Yeah, so if you're in the chat right now, flood at Joey Parisi's DMs with rookies that you want to see make the National Hockey League, whether you're a fan of the Blackhawks, the Bruins, the Devils, or any team across the Chell, send them to Joey's DM right now so we can get them in the show next week. I would love to hear from you. Justin Fields should be starting for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, but he won't yet.
I want Matt Nagy fired right now. Head on over to dowindycity.com to read the latest on why I believe that. It's just a joke, man. They suck ass.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I don't think Andy Dalton is as bad as people make it seem, but like, yeah, Justin Fields
threw an interception in the end zone
after Justin Fields like got him there, right?
Yeah. Stop.
What was your highlight from week one of the NFL season before we?
Oh, Tom Brady, and it was Tom Brady winning and the Patriots losing.
I forgot about that because that was Thursday.
Oh,
fuck you with the Patriots losing though.
Tom Brady is the greatest player who ever lived, and I want it to be so obvious.
It is obvious. It's going to be, but don't shit on Mac Jones, you know.
I'm not shitting on Mac Jones. He was okay.
He was pretty good. It was his rookie NFL debut. He was pretty good. Yeah, they Miami
looked okay.
Exactly. Don't give me that. I want the Patriots. There's a world where the Patriots and Tom Brady can be good.
I wanted the Browns to beat the Chiefs more than anything in the world, though.
I thought they were going to.
I did too.
It was like 22-10 at halftime. But I mean,
confident in my bet. Even though they lost, I'm even more confident in my bet now that that game happened. Because if they lose by what, 3 to the Chiefs in a hard-fought game, like what are they going to do to everyone else?
I feel like that's becoming a common thing though, where the Chiefs are losing at halftime and then they're just a completely different team in the second half.
Patrick Mahomes, he probably signed like in his contract, like Roger Goodell See, I almost choke when I say that man's name. Roger Goodell probably put it in his contract. Like, dude, we got to nerf the league a little bit. Like, be losing by 14 at halftime so you can make it fair for everyone else. And then, all right, fine. That's fine with me. But the Bills losing was extremely surprising, too. I believe the Steelers have a Super Bowl caliber defense, but their offense stinks. But they were able to beat the Bills, who are, like, supposed to be an elite AFC team. Why? What was your highlight?
Honestly, like, I have two. There was one with – I had zero stakes in the game.
Oh, was it Monday night?
I didn't give a shit about either team. I don't give a shit about the Raiders. I don't give a shit about the Ravens. And that ending to that football game, Derek Carr is awesome. Anyone who thinks differently of Derek Carr being an elite quarterback is wrong. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
He looks like Sid from Toy Story grew up.
Maybe it's the black shirt.
No, he does.
Maybe we'll get a side by side, but I don't know if I could agree with that. But he is an awesome quarterback. And then the whole premature celebration—they stormed the field, then they had to clear the field because he was down. Then they stuffed him. Then Lamar takes it. They stuff Lamar, and then you know that fucking play to win it. It was just an amazing, amazing overtime Monday Night Football. But for me, my highlight, it probably would have been different if the Pats won, but I got to go with my other guy, probably slowly becoming one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. I should have, if I wasn't all Bruins decked out, I'd be wearing my Arizona Cardinals shirt, Kyler Murray. What a fucking guy. He is, you know, living up to that number one pick. He'd probably be elite on the Oakland Athletics if he ended up playing baseball. I think that highly of this guy. He threw for 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, probably was amongst the highest fantasy quarterbacks for week one. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how he does the rest of the way. I'm a big Kyler Murray guy.
Yeah, I'm excited for week two. I think the Bears are going to lose to the Bengals. That's my hot take. And that's when shit will really hit the fan. Ooh, no team pisses me off more than the Chicago Bears. Out of all my favorite teams, none of them piss me off more than the Bears, because like at least the Devils are trying to rebuild. Like they have number one picks. They picked good guys. Like there's the proof is in the pudding. The White Sox, this rebuild sucked ass. They lost 100 games in 2018. They got Andrew Vaughn out of it. Like the Bears aren't getting an Andrew Vaughn football version out of whatever is going to come the season. Why? Because they traded their first round pick because they can never get the damn quarterback right. They had to draft Justin Fields because they skipped on Mahomes. Oh, my God. No team. Because it's just so incompetent.
Getting heated.
George Halas, or not George, McCaskey sits up there. And Ryan and Matt are our football guys. And then these football guys don't know jack shit about football. They're going for it on 4th and 15 when they're in field goal range and points are hardly already – or points are hard enough to come by as it is against the Rams. How much did we undervalue Kyle Fuller? Yeah, that is Sid grown up. Wow. Shout out to Derek Carr. Great game against the Ravens this weekend. But I mean, the Bears, man.
I don't see it.
How much did we undervalue Kyle Fuller? Their secondary is trash. I want Eddie Jackson benched. First, and that's another thing, wearing number 4. I've
failed in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, we know, Matt. We know. I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot. So I only give the guy with 100 yards 16 carries when the Rams are begging them to run. Oh, my God.
He's getting into rant mode. We got to cut him off here. We got to change the subject or something.
I get more mad. The Bears are my third favorite team in sports, and I get the most heated about them.
Speaking of week two against the Bengals, it's not going to be easy. That guy, Ja'Marr Chase, played with Joe Burrow at LSU.
I saw them dominate the SEC championship together against Georgia in Atlanta 2 years ago now.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to take credit for drafting Ja'Marr Chase, but you know that was a tip given to me by our buddy that you know he played with Joe Burrow.
He was with me at that game.
Yeah, so he's on my fantasy team, so I'm loving it. So I mean, a lot to look forward to in week two.
How much I want to hear John Buffone talk about this tonight. I'm going to tune in and listen. How much did we undervalue Kyle Fuller and Leonard Floyd? Khalil Mack, I mean, he's an impact player every game, even though the stats don't show, because he's getting double teamed and he's always in the right place at the right time. Like, I have no quarrels with Khalil Mack, but he can't get to the quarterback because Robert Quinn fucking sucks. And Leonard Floyd is over there with Aaron Donald in Los Angeles, and they're so sweet. And Kyle Fuller's over there in Denver. And the only player on the Bears who's good on defense in the secondary is Jalen Johnson. Eddie Jackson looks like trash with his stupid number four. Cornerback should not be wearing number four. I hate the number rule change. I was so confused watching the entire first half. It's like weird. In college, I'm okay with it. Like, you're cool with, you know, random numbers being all over the field, guys play multiple positions. But in the NFL, I don't want to see number four as a defensive back, especially when number four stinks. Ooh, I hope they lose to the Bengals. I hope they go. That's the thing, though. They get nothing. They get nothing out of sucking. They traded their first-round pick. It's gone.
The Rams, get your shit together!
The Rams traded 5 out of 6 first-round picks, but they're elite. You can't win without trading all your first-round. Yes, you can if you're the Rams and you trade them for things that help you win, but the Bears trade them for Mitchell Trubisky, and, you know, they trade fourths for Nick Foles. Justin Fields, I'm not even confident Justin Fields is going to be good. I'm not. Not because of anything Justin Fields did wrong. He was drafted by the wrong team. They are going to fuck him up. I'm Frank the Tank of the Bears.
We need a show where I don't have to ever give opinions, argue, talk. I just bring up topics and you go off, because that's what this is right now. I should have never even brought it up.
His testicles became swollen.
Those are the two biggest assholes in the history of anything on the TV, right there in that clip. I hate both of them with every fiber of my being.
His testicles became swollen.
I hate Matt a little less.
On Tucker Carlson, that note, but... on that note, Vinny's heated, so I'll just go ahead and continue here. Tomorrow, tune in. We got a great show. Crosstown Crosstalk, talking baseball, a lot of Cubs stuff, White Sox stuff. We've been to both of those stadiums over the weekend. We'll be talking about our weekend. We had a baseball-filled weekend. What we have upcoming. Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Where are you going tonight?
Tonight, I will be at Guaranteed Rate Field for the umpteenth time. I don't even remember how many. Like, we pretty much walk in and like, oh, there's Vinny and Joey. They're back.
Vinny, here's your Cuban.
Yeah, here's your Cuban. Oh, Joey, we got your beer ready. I'm looking forward to it. We get to see Shohei Ohtani. We'll be talking about it tomorrow at 2 p.m. You're going to want to be there to hear about our time seeing Shohei Ohtani take on the Chicago White Sox.
Yep. Hockey's back. Baseball's in full force, getting ready for the playoffs. I appreciate everybody for tuning in to Bar Down Blackhawk Talk. It was a great hockey discussion. Watermelon stinks and Matt Nagy stinks, and I can't wait for hockey to come back, because having hockey and baseball in my life at the same time is awesome. And I couldn't be more thankful for you for being on this show. Get me all fired up. Got anything before we head on out of here? Because I believe we're leaving right now.
Clearly, I need this team back. I'm itching to watch my boys.
Me too.
Any passionate sports fan knows the feeling that I'm getting right now. You knew it a few weeks ago, whether Justin Fields or Andy Dalton was starting. He had that feeling that the Bears are back. I'm getting that feeling that my Bears are back, my Bruins. Real quick, can you name every player on the back of these jerseys?
I believe I see Tim Thomas, Charlie Coyle, Tuukka Rask, David Pastrnak, and...
You didn't even say. Do what I'm pointing at.
All right, that's Pastrnak.
Huh?
That's Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Okay. That's McAvoy. That's also McAvoy. That's Rask, and that's Charlie Coyle. Am I correct?
You said Tim Thomas before. What the fuck was that?
I just spewed out all the jerseys I know you have.
Yeah, this isn't even half of my Bruins jerseys.
Yeah.
These are both Pastrnak.
Yep. So Crosstalk tomorrow. Make sure you listen to all the shows on the Barroom Network. Bulls 101, Mike North Advantage. No one cares about Joey's jerseys or his fantasy team. Mike North, Southburbs Hitman every Monday, Friendly Confines right before us, for at Joey Parisi on Twitter. I'm at Vinny Parisi on Twitter, and thank you for listening. Go Bengals.